The scripture reading for today is Hebrews 13, 1 through 8, and Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. It can be found on in your Pew Bible on page 921. I will be reading the NIV version, the New International Version. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitalities to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And so the scripture that Josie read just a moment ago is all about hospitality, all about how it is that we should share with the world that we really are who we say we are. We are Christians and that we are believers. And so I think it's the perfect illustration of thinking about the trip that I took to South Korea. And so there were a couple of things that were interesting to me as I thought about this trip and my frame of mind as I went into it, because I was asked a lot of questions before I went on this trip. You know, people asked me, "Why, Jim, are you going to South Korea of all places? And why are you going now?" Especially in light of the tense political climate that's going on, when you could turn on the news just about every day and see another incident in which a bomb was tested, a missile was launched, that North Korea is increasing their nuclear arsenal. Why now? And so it also made me kind of take a second guess, too, because there are people who didn't really want me to go on this trip, most especially my parents. It took a lot of convincing for me to share with them and for them to finally say it was okay for me to go. It took a lot of prayer on their part. But you know, the truth of the matter is that I think God had an amazing plan for the 30 of us that went on this trip. Because I would say without a doubt that it was quite a life-changing and amazing experience for me for a lot of reasons. And so I think first I want to share with you a few interesting facts about North Korea to kind of, South Korea, actually both really, but I'm going to share some information about Korea that I think will be helpful in what I'm sharing with you. And so first of all, South Korea is about the size of Kentucky, but yet has 1/6 of the United States population. Isn't that incredible? Think about how densely populated of a place it would be. And so actually there's so little land in South Korea that they're actually trying to fill in the ocean, that they're trying to use sand and earth to fill in the ocean to create more land. And they've actually had some degree of success in this and have built some small cities and dwellings on those areas that they filled with land. And so 80% of the people of South Korea live in an urban area. And many of them live in high-rise apartments. And so, Sarah, if you would go to the next slide, please. This just gives you an idea of some of the basic landscape in South Korea. This picture was taken in Seoul. And so Seoul is roughly about the size of New York, maybe a few more or less in the metropolitan area, give or take. But this just gives you an idea of the urban sprawl and high-rise apartments and buildings everywhere. They say there's so little land that the only space that they have to build in is to build up. And so this picture was taken from a tower in Seoul where you can see the whole city. It's kind of like the Space Needle in Seattle, if you've ever been there, where you can go up to the top and you can view the whole cityscape. And so that's where this picture comes from. And so it's a place where there's a lot of innovation. There's a lot of the latest in technology. It's a really fascinating city with a lot of lights and a lot of beauty, Seoul is. And it's a place where there's a lot of companies that you might know about that are founded in South Korea. Samsung, LG, Hyundai, and Kia are just a few of the companies that were founded in South Korea. But what's really fascinating to me is what the Korean Christians attribute all of this success to. And what they attribute all of this success that South Korea has experienced to is the fact that 130 years ago, American missionaries came and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ and shared God's love in that place. And that's what they attribute their success to, is missionaries coming and changing their land for the better. And so, as I mentioned, in the grand scheme of history, South Korea has only been Christianized, or all of Korea really, for only 130 years. And so prior to that, most of the people practiced shamanism and Buddhism. And so some 130 years ago, there were some Roman Catholic missionaries that came from China into Korea. And so the gospel was shared in that way. And the people who heard it were so intrigued that they wanted more missionaries to come. And they are the first country to actually ask American diplomats to send more missionaries to Korea. Isn't that incredible? That they heard the gospel and they wanted to hear it so badly and wanted to know more so badly that they actually asked our diplomats to send more missionaries. And so we did. And so there are two missionaries that are really highly regarded in South Korea. And the first one, his last name is Appenzeller. And Appenzeller is a Methodist missionary that came. And Underwood is the Presbyterian missionary who came. And so the two most prominent Protestant denominations in Korea are Presbyterianism first and Methodism second. And so in many ways, these missionaries were received with open arms, and they were highly regarded. And I think that it's not just because they shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, but because in many ways they were humanitarians. When the missionaries came, they healed a great many people. They sent doctors in to be able to provide the latest in Western medicine. Another thing that they did was that they helped to create and found schools. They created elementary, middle, and high schools, and they also created universities there as well. And so, through sharing in education, through being able to provide the latest in technology and innovation that the West had to offer, the Koreans took that and ran with it and prospered as a result. And so, every day that we were there, people thanked us. They thanked us as Americans because we were the ones that came and shared the gospel with them. And they believe that it's because of us that their country is prospering in the way that it is now. And so the people there yearn to hear the Christian faith more and more, and they yearn to have the Bible translated into their native tongue of Korean. And so that happened. And so they hold these missionaries in high regard. And so, Sarah, if you can go to the next slide, please. This is actually a foreigner's missionary cemetery. And so the missionaries that came to Korea are all buried here. It's a beautifully manicured, beautifully terraced cemetery. And all of these headstones have blessings, have reverences, have celebrations of these missionaries that came. They hold them in such high esteem that they have their own cemetery right in the heart of Seoul. It's an amazing thing to think about. And also, in the 130 years of Korean Christianity being a part of their culture, a lot of things happened to them. In many ways, this was a tough time. At the beginning, in the early 20th century, Japan had taken over Korea. And so until 1945, the Koreans were under Japanese rule, and they had to learn the Japanese language. They had to adhere to Shintoism, the Japanese state religion. And so Christianity was oppressed in many ways during that time. And then all of that changed when the bombs were dropped in Hiroshima and Nagasaki and World War II officially came to an end. And so at that time between 1945 and when the Korean War occurred in 1950, churches cropped up left and right. There were churches everywhere, and Christianity was exploding. And the ironic thing is that Pyongyang, the capital of North Korea, it used to be called the Jerusalem of the East because there were so many churches there. It's amazing to think about, isn't it? So before communism, Pyongyang was one of the most religious places in Asia. But then tensions started to arise because in 1945, when the treaties were put together, Russia had control of the northern part of Korea, and the United States had control of the south. And of course, the wars between communism and capitalism were raging on, and so the Korean War occurred. And so there was a lot of fighting back and forth. There was a time that the American and Allied forces had pushed the Communist Army all the way up to the border of China. But then China joined the fray of the battle. And they turned the war around for the communists, and they had drove them all the way down to Busan in the bottom of the country. But then they were able to fight and able to push up. And so there was a tension back and forth, and eventually they ended on the 38th parallel. And that border still exists today. And the war actually isn't officially over. They're just an armistice right now. So the tensions still exist. So Sarah, if you'll go to the next slide here. But in many ways, Americans and American soldiers were held in high regard. And so this picture is from a museum that we toured about the Incheon landing. And this sculpture represents American soldiers who were making their way to Incheon off the landing craft. So if you'll go to the next slide. And so Douglas MacArthur, who was the general during the Korean War, he was held in high esteem, extremely high regard. There are actually statues of Douglas MacArthur all over that museum and even in places in South Korea. And the reason why is because he did a huge part in being able to drive back the communists and for their land to prosper. And so here you have an iconic plate. You have that iconic corncob pipe that MacArthur was always known for. That was actually his pipe. I don't have it here, but I actually have some other pictures of his hat that he always wore and those sunglasses that he always wore as well. Pretty remarkable, the high regard that they hold. But I think it's amazing that South Koreans hold Americans in such high regard, such deep respect and love and appreciation, because there are a lot of other countries, particularly in Western Europe, that don't hold Americans in very high regard. So it's pretty amazing to go to a city where there was joy, there was love, and there was appreciation. And so the next thing that was really amazing to me was the place that we stayed. If we'll go to the next slide. Oh, yes, I want to go to this before I go to that, where we stayed. One other thing that we did while we were in Korea was that we went to the Unification Museum. And what this museum was is that it shared about the history between North and South Korea and the war that was fought there. And it's right on the border of North and South Korea. So I was at the border of North and South Korea, and I survived, and I'm right here. So thank God for that. But when we went, we were in an observatory on the top floor, and there's a river that separates North and South Korea. And that picture, it's taken from a distance. That's North Korea. That's how close we were, how much we were able to see it. And what we did, all of us that gathered together, is that we prayed. And we had a little worship service to pray for the unification of North and South Korea, to pray for those people that one day they would be at peace and be together. It was amazing and a beautiful experience. And it was a once-in-a-lifetime thing to be able to see North Korea in this way. Go to the next slide. And so this is where we stay. This is Bupyeong Methodist Church. And so when we arrived at this beautiful, sprawling sanctuary with marble floors and more, The pastor and his 15 associate pastors were out there to greet us. Can you imagine? 15. 15. They were out there to greet us, to celebrate us, to honor us. And all the people were out there clapping and giving us praise just because we were their guest. And they gave us drinks and tea and gifts and more. And we were able to stay there. They actually have a whole complex. It's like a hotel for us all to stay. It was really incredible. And so while we were there, they treated us like kings and queens. They fed us some of the best of what Korea had to offer, and we didn't have to pay a dime for anything. And we got to tour all these different churches. And we got to see the largest Methodist church in the world. And that church has 40,000 people in worship on a Sunday. 40,000. It's like the population of Salisbury all gathered together in worship. But that's not even the biggest church. The biggest church is actually a full gospel church in Seoul that has 80,000 people in worship. It's staggering. It's pretty incredible. And on Sunday morning in Bupyeong Church, where we were, they had about over 3,000 people in worship there. We got to tour and see their choir. They had about 200 in the choir. We got to see all their Sunday school classes and everything that happened there. We got to see classically trained musicians and more, and their men's choir performed. And it was such an incredible thing. You know, all those things are impressive in and of themselves. But honestly, that wasn't the thing that impressed me the most. And I want to share with you what did. Because I thought about all this. I thought about, you know, Reverend Hong and the whole church inviting us in and wondering why. Why did they invite us? Why did they pay for everything while we were there? Why have they shown us such hospitality? Why have they taken us on so many tours and experiences? Why have they done this? And the reason why is because of the power of prayer. So I wanted you to, Sarah, if you'll go to the next slide. And so every single morning while we were there, we gathered together at 5 in the morning to pray. And there were some 800 people in this sanctuary gathered together every morning at 5 o'clock to pray. They sung hymns. There was a brief sermon. And then there was an opportunity to pray. And people prayed for everything and anything. They prayed for our world. They prayed for our country. They prayed for us. They prayed for our families. They prayed for things going on in their lives. They prayed just thanksgiving to God. And all the people in there were praying in one voice. It was just a cacophony of voices praying, calling out to God with hands raised, with tears being shed, of people speaking in tongues. It was such an incredible Holy Spirit Pentecost experience. It was amazing to think about that. That every single day at 5 o'clock, they began with prayer. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine coming to church every day at 5 o'clock to pray? Some people have a hard enough time coming on Sunday morning once a week, let alone 7 days a week at 5 o'clock in the morning to pray. And it amazed me. It amazed me. But I think that it speaks volumes. And I think the reason why the people were so hospitable, the reason why people were so loving is because they had a foundation of prayer. They had a foundation of being filled with the Spirit of God. So I've been praying about, how does this translate for us? What does this mean for us? How do we become more faithful in our prayer lives? And that's an important thing for me to think about. And it's an important thing for all of us to think about. Because I think that everything rises and falls with the power of prayer in our lives. So important. So these words from Hebrews, I think, spoke to me. In Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." And so the reason why Reverend Hong from Bupyeong Church invited all of us to come, the reason why is because one time during one of those prayer services, God spoke to him. And God said, that you need to invite people from all over the world to hear about the power of prayer. You need to invite them, all expenses paid, to come so they can hear and see God's love at work in Korea. And so he was obedient. And people have come from all over the United States there, not just us. Next week, as a matter of fact, people from Indiana are coming there. They have people from Manila in the Philippines, people from Indonesia, people from Europe, all over the world have come, not just us, to hear about the power of prayer. All because God spoke to him and he was obedient. And so I think these words resonate in my mind from Hebrews 13, verse 7. It says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." So we need to imitate their faith, praying daily, devoutly, and with our whole hearts. What an important thing for us to know and understand. And so Hebrews 15 and 16, I think, spoke to me too. It says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." So they lived this out, to do good and to share with others. They shared everything with us, food, their lodging, the hospitality, and more. They shared everything, all because they had a firm foundation of prayer in their lives. I learned an important lesson while I was there. And that important lesson that I learned is that you can't drink from an empty cup, can you? You can't drink from an empty cup. What do I mean by that is that if we're not giving ourselves a firm foundation of prayer, if we're not starting our day calling out to God, giving him our burdens and our needs, then we're starting with an empty cup. We're starting without being filled with the Spirit of God. And so blessings come through the overflow. Blessings come through the Spirit of God overflowing in us. It's no wonder to me that we have anxiety and depression and so many other ailments that are so present in our lives. Because we're not starting with a foundation of prayer. How much would your life be better? How much would we be better if we started out every day calling out to God in prayer? We can't drink from an empty cup, can we? And so, Sarah, if you'll go to the next slide. One thing that was amazing to me was that this was one of the murals inside of the church. And what this is the disciples all gathered together in prayer. And what's on top of their heads is tongues of fire. It's the Holy Spirit's presence. And so we can't have the Holy Spirit present in our lives if we're not starting out in prayer. The Holy Spirit doesn't dwell with us if we're not communicating with God. If you go to the next slide. This was the commission that was given to Bukyong Church every day. This was the banner in their sanctuary. On the left there, that's the whole complex of Bukyong Church. And that plane, that's a Korean Air plane. And that's actually what we flew out on, was a Korean Air airplane. And it's going out to all the world. You can see different icons there, the Statue of Liberty, the Eiffel Tower, the Opera House in Australia. They represent the whole world. That they're called to go to the world with the gospel. Because they've been filled with the Holy Spirit and want to bless others with it. So how much more should we go and do likewise? I don't know about you, church, but I'm tired of drinking from an empty cup. Tired of feeling drained and empty. How much more should we be filled with the power of prayer, that we commit together to pray for each other and for one another? Think about how much better the world could be if we start out. And so let us pray together. Heavenly Father, help us to repent from our lack of faith. Help us to repent from not starting out our day with you. Lord, help us to know that we cannot drink from an empty cup, that we need to be filled with your Spirit. We need to be filled with your presence, with your light and love. So, Lord, whether it be in this church, whether it be from our homes, wherever it is, let us start out on that firm foundation of prayer. Let our cups be filled to overflowing. Because, God, it's only in the overflow that we're able to share blessings. It's in the overflow, oh God, that the joy that comes from serving you fills our hearts. So, Lord, help us to go and do likewise. Help us to rest on that firm foundation of prayer. Help us, O Lord, so that we might be blessed to be a blessing and to serve others all over the world. And it's in Jesus' name that we all pray.